Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. Good evening. This is your Friday's 6:30 discussion with the Apostle Ministry. And we are human, just like everybody else, with the spirit, divine spirit within us. We are impacted in the earth the same way that most other people are impacted. Basic difference is we do not allow our five senses to let us know what is real and what is not real. Now, we don't profess to be no heavenly being. We do profess to be called by God and chosen by God for a time as this. And as we wait, I think our Apostle McIntyre is here. Let me open her mic. And Apostle Miller is away. And I hope that she will not be negatively impacted by the hurricane that's going across the eastern seaboard. Apostle McIntyre, welcome, welcome.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, thank you. Always a pleasure.
Well, same here. And I sort of look forward to this. I don't know about our listening audience. And I sort of see them as part of our congregation. And as such, we are obligated to provide a word that will bring them comfort, a word that will help them to discern what is happening around them and help them to discern what they see or experience through their five senses in a way that they can have peace. And it's just amazing. I'm going to read Matthew 11:28-30, and that's out of the NIV Bible. And in a time like this, this word bring comfort to some of us, and it will cause others, I hope, to ask questions. How is it that people who hear this word, how they are able to find joy or see something in this, their present situation that's not frightening to them? In essence, some of us can even find comfort in the midst of this time that we're in. We're dealing with weather, severe weather. We're dealing with the political arena. We're dealing with the educational arena. It basically seems like most of our institutions are in some form of conflict. So now this is Jesus. And start in verse 28. It says, come to me. So Jesus saying, come to him. Now who is he talking to? Come to me all. Not some, not white people, not black people, not yellow people, red people, not rich people, not poor people. He said all. And then he goes on to qualify. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And by coming to him, what is it that he will do for us? He says, and I will give you rest. And I will give you rest. Now, it's that word rest. And we'll come back and deal with it a little later. But I want you to think about it. what does he mean by rest? And then he goes along and says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now, what does a yoke do? How many of you who are listening know or seen a yoke? Growing up in the country on a farm, I understand the purpose of a yoke. For I am gentle and humble in heart. Now, this, he's go back, he said, come to me. Who is me? He says, I am gentle. Now he's describing who he is. He says, I am gentle and humble in heart. And what will we find? He says, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I was sitting around lamenting about what is it that we will discuss tonight? What word can we apply to the situation, circumstances that's happening all around us? And I admit that I was sort of called flat-footed. I have relatives and friends in Florida. And they talk about that governor down there and what that governor is doing and how that governor is not governing on behalf of all the people. And as we, and whenever I had to sit and think about it, all, God says that we need to pray for all people so that we may have a quiet, peaceful life, and so that they may be saved as well. And by praying for them and praying that they receive salvation, that's where the change is going to take place. It will take place within them, within their heart. And I thought about that, and I had to go back. And I came into an understanding that I am being convicted by looking at what my five senses is seeing and hearing. And in so doing, I realized that I was penalizing those people by not praying for the governor, not praying for salvation for him. So, and, you know, it's very interesting. And as I followed the storm, it came across Georgia. We have friends down there near Savannah. And then Charleston, I have a first cousin in Charleston and other relatives down there. And then it missed that, and then it hit Myrtle Beach. Well, again, if I would have relied on my five senses, first thing I would say, good for them. Because when I was growing up, I was not welcome at Myrtle Beach, what is Myrtle Beach now. All the way that a person looked like me could go to Myrtle Beach would have been to be somebody's servant. And we had to go to Atlantic Beach, which is maybe a couple blocks wide and maybe about five blocks deep. That was it. And we, who as a child, I used to stick my toe in the side where it's supposed to be white, and nothing happened. And, you know, so, but today, whenever that hurricane hit down there, I had a different understanding and a different response. So, and that's because of the words, the word. And it will continue because that storm is going all the way up the coast through Virginia, where I have relatives there, right on through New Jersey and New York. And the thing is, we need to sit down and take a look at what is happening around us and come into an understanding of our calling and who called us. And as a result of that call, what is it that we should be about? That's sort of what came to me at the last minute. And as I read that scripture before, it spoke to me where I am, and it spoke to me about where the people are as they go through this. I saw the devastation in Florida, how they just destroyed the roads, and we've been down through that area. And also the thing came to me again, looking at it with the five senses. What did I say? All good. Mm-hmm. Those are the people that don't particularly care for people who look like me. And, you know, but that's not who I am. And I had to come to grips and deal with my own self. And I had to raise the question and deal with it. Whose I am? Whose am I? Myself? Or am I the enemy? Am I one of the chosen ones? Chosen ones that understand the Word of God and able to apply the Word of God to everyday situation and understand that I don't use God as a sugar daddy or as a Santa Claus or somebody that always gonna bail me out or always do the things that I want it done the way I want it done. And it's being a follower of the teaching of Jesus and accepting the call from the Father, then we have to really take a look at ourselves. How do we treat each other? I went through most of that. How do we treat each other? How do we treat our family members? How do we treat, because like I said, I have relatives from Florida to New York, and they're all going to be impacted about this. And what does we do? We pray together on a Saturday on the seventh day at 7:30. And we have members from Florida to New York on that prayer line. And we are praying proactive. And it's interesting how the Holy Spirit leads you, and we just open our hearts, not our minds, our hearts, to receive the word. Then we will begin to perceive things differently, and we will begin to respond differently. And for a long time, anybody told me that in trials and tribulations I could find joy, I would look at you and laugh. And I knew something was wrong with you. But now, because of the Word, I've gotten into the Word and the Word gotten into me, then I understand what that means. And lastly, grieving. At first, I said, well, we're good enough for them. They shouldn't put their faith in material things. But then whenever you sit back and you look at it, they're grieving because they lost. They're grieving a loss. And they lost their house. They lost their boat. They lost their car. They lost their loved ones. And then I had to flip back to myself. And I realized what I went through when I was grieving a loss of a limb. We all grieve a loss, no matter what it is. That's a loss, and we grieve that. Apostle.
Oh, that was good. I was listening to you, and I'm going back to where you were in Matthew 11 when he says, "Come unto me." And this is Jesus. And that is the only way that you and I and every other person will ever be able to find rest, will ever be able to find hope and strength. It's all in Jesus.
That's
and
right.
Just, he said, come. That's an invitation. You know, our spirit is already sealed with the Lord. So this is an invitation to our souls. Because that's where we have the struggle. That's where we have the battle, because Satan cannot attack our spirit. But he can attack us in our soul, which is, you know, our mind, will, thought, the way we think. And like you say, the things that we see. And all our lives, most of us have been trained that what's real is what you can see. If I don't see it, then it must not be true, or I can't believe it. So once we've come into the kingdom of God, we have to have a totally brand new mindset. And I was thinking about what you said when, you know, you were like, one mind would say, well, good, you know, because we weren't allowed to go to the beach or anything then. But those people that are there now is not those people that were there then. But it lets you know when you have the mind and the heart of Christ Jesus. Only Jesus can change your heart. Only God can give you the ability to forgive and to know that things that have happened in our past, we really cannot change it. We learn from it. We grow from it. We don't have to necessarily, we don't have to like it. It happened. It was a part of life. But we can rejoice that it didn't kill us. You know, that God made a way. And if he made a way then, he'll make a way now. And see, this is what sometimes I think about when people say, well, they owe us. And who owe you? Who owe you? No, when you get into that, well, you know, they didn't let us do. But that generation is gone. Oh, yeah, it's still here. I'm not saying that that's not here now and whatever. But I'm saying that the things that are owed to us, can't no man pay us back. That's why Jesus tells us to come to him. Can no man pay you back for the ways that, you know, we were mistreated, and not us and a lot of other, you know, different ethnic groups and stuff. But he said, if you'll come to me, all you that's labor and heavy laden, he said, and I will give you rest. There's not rest anywhere else. Jesus, there's no hope for us except in Jesus. There's no way we can love unless we allow Jesus to love through us. So he's telling us, don't look to man. Don't look to material things and all this. And my heart really goes out to those people. You know, I don't know what it is to be homeless. That has to be just so, so terrible. And families, and you know, I guess sometimes even being a woman, I'm thinking about women have a tendency to be a little bit more emotional and tied to things, my dishes, my photos, and different things, and they've lost all that. And no man, they can rebuild. God can give them the resources and everything to rebuild, but you can't give me my wedding photos back. You can't give me the pictures of my grandbabies or my children growing up. You can't give me back gifts that were given to me. You know what I'm saying? So we have to come to Jesus because he said he's the healer of the brokenhearted. And he's the only one that can give us rest. Now, to me, that rest is the ability to walk through what has happened to you and still have joy. Still have joy. And no man can do that for us. So he's telling us to come to him. And it blessed me because the word of God, as it goes into us, it changes our heart. You don't even think like you used to think. You don't want ill will. I hear your heart so much when we're on the line and on air and how you want people, you want everybody, you know, to live this good life and come into the things of God. That's the heart of God. And, you know, I think about Jesus, all that he endured, and there are people that will not take advantage or will not receive what he's done, but he did not let that turn him bitter. He didn't let that stop him because he had a higher order. And so when we're in the body of Christ, when we're in the kingdom of God, we look at things from a higher order, a higher perspective. We look through the eyes of Jesus. And one way that was to really walk in love with all mankind is to think about how much God has forgiven us. You know, if we had gotten what we deserve, you and I would not even be on the air tonight.
That's correct.
Yeah, when you think about all Jesus did and how, you know, as believers, a lot of times we don't give him any time. We don't give him any attention. We don't thank him. And I saw a lot of those that were walking around, you know, they were hurt and shocked, and they would say, well, at least we have our lives, you know. And some, you know, some didn't even lives in this. So that's the rest that God gives you. And he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek. See, a lot of people don't teach that Jesus is meek. What does meek? He's tenderhearted. He's compassionate. First of all, God did not send in. God did not send that storm. He does not use those type of things to teach his children anything. This world is in a mess. This world
That's
is
correct.
In a mess. But the earth is the Lord's, and it's always going to be the Lord, and he's never going to let anybody take over this earth. But we have an enemy, and there is no way that God would have sent, well, you know, the people just doing so-and-so and all. God did not send that storm.
Mm-mm.
You know, I'm going to say God is already told us in John 10:10 who the thief is, who the destroyer is, and it's not Jesus. We have an enemy, and his name is Satan.
He seeks
to steal and destroy. Some people will, you know, get up and they'll say, well, you know, Florida's so bad and the governor is so-and-so and all this, and so God sent this here to get his attention and all this. No, God got our attention when he stretched his son out between earth and heaven, when he allowed him to take every sin of every man that would ever exist into his body, where he allowed him to be beaten, body ripped to shreds, so that the word says he didn't even look like a man. That's when God put all of his anger, all of his wrath, he put it on his son. God is not mad at anybody. No, he's not happy with the way we're living and how we're treated. And a lot of times what we don't understand is that when we walk in disobedience to the word, we open the door for the enemy. It's not God that's destroying. God is the healer. God is the savior. He's our deliverer. He would no more hurt us than you have children, Apostle Armstrong, and I have a son and granddaughters. There's no way that I would help my son get the home of his dreams or the vehicle of his dreams or get him set up in business. And, you know, just because I'm a little upset with him, I'm going to go over there and set fire to his house, set fire to his business.
That's right.
Maybe you'll look. No, and if we would not do that, and God has so much more love than either one of us have, there's no way God would do that. What would be accusing him of? That's why he said, you can come to me. And I know that a lot of them down there will have a lot of help to believe, well, it's just God. And, you know, that breaks my heart. Even when I see ministers get on there, well, God trying to get their attention. That is not God. God got our attention on camera. That's when he got our attention. That's when he told us, showed us how he really feel about us, the lengths he went to bring us back to the Father. So God's not tearing up. God's blessing. God's giving. But when we, like you said, when we walk away from the Word, and we just, you know, you see it all of just trying to change the Word of God, and just because you got a majority vote for something, if it doesn't agree with the Word of God, it's wrong. That's right. It's just wrong. And God said, I watch over my Word. In other words, I'm going to bring to pass what I have had written. That's what I come into agreement with. And it doesn't change my love for you. But if you walk away from obeying God, then you open up the door for the enemy. Now, a lot of this is going on because there is so much sin in the land. There is so much disobedience in the land. And it has given Satan an inroad. But we as believers have to know that we've got that same power and anointing that he told the disciples, why y'all wake me up? Just because the boat's filling up with water and whatever, I've given you power and authority to speak to the wind. See, this as that's what we need to be teaching. We have authority, and we have power to speak to the wind, to speak to the storm. Now, what I did, they said it was coming. You know, it's raining here, and you hear the wind, and the wind is like howling, you know, and the trees. And even Wednesday night at church, and I just made that declaration. I said, y'all agree with me. Ian is not coming to Lancaster and tearing up nothing God gave us. You're not going to tear up this church. You're not going to tear up our home. And see, God needs us to speak that so that he can act on that. And a lot of times our words doesn't agree with what he said. And so it's not going to be easy for them. I don't know how they feel. I haven't walked in those shoes. I'm sure it's devastating for them. But God can still, you know, bring them to a place where they have rest. And one of the rests would be to know that, you know, they think, oh, God did this to me. I don't want nothing to do with him. And that's what the enemy wants to get us to that place where we hate God, that God is at no. God is for us. And so, you know, whatever ways we can help and send help. And, you know, it's so awful to think a lot of times when things like this have happened. And, you know, it's even come up that you send all this help and you've got evil people that will not allow. They take the money. They don't let the people have it to do what they need to do with. You know what I'm saying? And it doesn't help the people. So we just need to be praying that people's hearts, until our heart is changed and turned to God, we will not see a change and we won't be able to come into that rest.
Now, that is the truth. And all we have to do is just look around us.
Yes.
Look around you and then let your mind go back. And you will see that you have made it through situations and circumstances before. And that's whenever you can look back. That's whenever your faith, you have begun to have leaps of faith. And you see the presence of God in your life and in this situation that you thought was irreversible. But God walked you through it. And just like this, I remember when I was a little kid, and whenever I think it was Hurricane Hazel, I think that's what it was, when I was in elementary school, and I looked out there, the trees was down, the school closed, and I'm about 100 miles, was living about 100 miles from the coast. And, you know, but whenever you look at, you heard the wind, and the house might have shook a little bit, but you remain steadfast. And at that time, we had a hallway that was in between the rooms, and if the storms or stuff got real bad, that's where we were told to go.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm saying that because we had to do our part.
Oh, yeah.
If we had not did our part and a tree fell on the house, it would have fallen on the house and hit the room that we were in, then we couldn't blame anybody but ourselves because we did not follow the precaution. And what happened, the other thing that I see that's happening now is how people defy authority. People do not want to anybody to say anything to them. They know everything. And if we look at the word, and a lot of the people that's doing this and saying this, they profess to be followers of the teaching of Jesus or evangelical Christians. And here we'll be the first to say, all knowledge comes from God. Well, God speaks through human beings. God ain't going to get a microphone and stand out there on the cloud and speak to us. No, that's not the way God works. All you have to do is read the word. And the word tells you that 99% of the time God spoke to his people through others. And I'm not saying that he can't speak and he doesn't speak because he spoke to me. And one time when I was pastoring, I was trying to pull these two congregations together and they were fighting and going on. And I said, people are going to say that I split the church. You know what God said? Just like we're talking. He said, why not you? And you know what I said? Nothing. And went on and did it the way that God had given the vision for it to happen. And the people who God gave that building to are still there, even though they're still going through a few challenges. But the other congregation that went back to Egypt, they wound up having to merge with another congregation to stay afloat. So, authority. I recognize authority. Now, if I had not recognized authority, God as being the one who had the authority, and if I would have went on along and kept trying to hold people together, I would have been out of order. And as I teach a couple of classes at a school or college, and the thing is, first thing, we establish the order in the Bible in the classes, because I teach in the religious department. And who is God? God is the one that created all this. Therefore, all authority belongs to God. And then his son, for us now, then his son. And then we break it all the way down to the man and the woman. And so that we will have the order correct as we read scripture, because that's the way scripture is laid out. And and so doing, people then gain a different understanding and understand what authority and how God has delegated authority down through his son, and it comes all the way down, and You know, one time I was lamenting, where are the men? But I don't know where they are. I know they're
mm-hmm.
not there. But
mm-hmm.
the women got that same authority. And I know some people listening to me is not going to agree with me, but that's fine. God, that same authority that he passed down to his son, who passed it on down through the disciples, who passed it on down to us, the women have that same authority now
mm-hmm.
that
yeah.
was passed down and can do the work that we are called to do. So that's one thing that I see that took place down there. The people
mm-hmm.
in authority told the people, it's time for you to leave because
mm-hmm.
this storm is going to be bad. So the people who chose to stay, then the authority, people in authority came back again and told them, if you stay, you on your own, because the rescue team or 9/11 are not going to come in there to try to rescue you until after this pass. So the authority, they can't blame government. They can't blame God. They, and you know what? We will not take credit for ourselves, for our decision. And that same thing happened in the garden. You know, that was what happened. Adam, he defied authority. And he chose not to listen to the one that told him, the one that created. And Adam was part of, God allowed him to be part of creation. He allowed him to name the animals. So it wasn't like he didn't have a relationship or had knowledge of who God was. But yet he listened to that angel who got himself in trouble in hell and who was cast out. He took his word over God. So we see that still being played out here today.
And you know, too, Apostle Armstrong, there are, anytime you run into a situation like that, you've got a lot of people that just, they don't have the money to leave. They don't have the car to leave. That's
mm-hmm.
why you really have to have your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You really have to know.
Mm-hmm.
When you were talking, I was thinking about, like you were talking about the yoke when you were on the farm and you were yoke animal. Well, you put two of them together to distribute the weight and the load. See, a lot of times
mm-hmm.
we're trying to carry everything ourselves, but God said, if you'll come to me, you know, what he's done is he's going to carry the bulk of it. He's going to carry all of
it. That's right.
And then he's going to hit you with your part. And so a lot of times, and I know, you know, there's so many people that just live paycheck to paycheck. They really don't have anything to get out. But, you know, God wants them to know, even if you find yourself in that situation, I'll still help you. I'll still support you. And then sometimes when you make up your mind to stand on the word of God, it looks absolutely foolish to other people. I'm sure when Peter got out of that boat, the other disciples, have you lost your mind? You know, you getting out of this boat, we can't walk on water. We never walked on water. But he heard Jesus say, come. Well, that's the same thing he told us in this verse. He said, come.
That's right.
It don't mean when you can see your way, come to me because I am the way. I can show you what you need. I can show you the way in which you are to go. And when he said, my yoke is easy, okay, my yoke is easy, that means the part that you do is believe. So if my yoke is easy, a hurricane is not easy. Disasters are not easy. That's burdensome. That's hard. So God would not be the author. God is not the author of confusion. He's not the author of any of those things. And so much of the body of Christ have, and I say the body of Christ, have got to get this understanding, this revelation, that the things that come to hurt you, the things that will destroy you, they're not from your Father. Every voice that speaks to you, if it's harassing you, intimidating you, putting fear and doubt in your heart, that is not your Father. There is no way. My grandbaby is here with me. She stayed last night, and she's here with me tonight. There's no way I would tell her when we got ready, before we go to bed, a real scary story. Or what? I don't even watch that. I don't even watch that in my house, because I ain't giving demons no interest into my house, no kind of way. But why would I tell her that somebody gonna break in and hurt her, or kill me and her before she go to bed? Now, that's not gonna put her in a restful state. That's gonna put her in a fear. Because even when she stayed with me, she was young, she's 9 now. When she was younger, when she was like 4 and 5 years old, and we would be in bed and sleep, and I would feel her little hand, and it would come up to my face, or she'd roll right up under me, Grandma. And I said, it's okay, baby. Grandma's not going to let anything. Well, that's what Jesus said. He said, if you'll come to me. And Jesus never told us. He already told us we're going to have trials, we're going to have tribulations. There's going to be times that everything is not going to go the way that we want it. But what he wants you to know is I'm in there with you. There to take you. When the Hebrew boys got into the fiery furnace, that fourth man was in there. And guess what? He stayed in there because he knew there was going to be days we were going to be put in a furnace. Put in a furnace of sickness. A furnace of doubt or unbelief or something catastrophic as this hurricane. And I can honestly say, Apostle Armstrong, when I was growing up, I didn't know anything about no hurricane. Never heard anything about hurricanes and tornadoes ever experienced that, you know, until Tina, never. I told him, he really had me in a bubble. I mean, I never heard of tornadoes or hurricanes or anything like that. I really didn't. And I'm like, wow. And so that's where God wants to take us now. Not that we don't know, but he wants us to have that same rest. That he still Lord over hurricanes. He's still Lord over the difficulties and the challenges that come in our lives. He told us in Isaiah, and I love it, 41:10, fear thou not, for I'm with you. Whew. Oh, you know, just know who's greater than God, who's mightier than God, who's more powerful. His kingdom is forever and ever without end. Recession can't touch it. Sickness and disease can't touch it. His word is incorruptible. It cannot be overturned. It will produce. It doesn't matter what the season of your life is. And he said, if you'll just come to me, if you will mix faith, in Hebrews 4, he said, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. And it has to do with what we believe. What we believe. Do you believe that he is the great I am? Do you believe that he is Lord of all? Do you believe that he has your best interest? And we're gonna live out of what we believe.
Now that
so that's
is true.
Just come to him.
Yeah, because what comes out our mouth. I used to laugh and think that old people didn't know what they were talking about. They said, what comes around will go around. And what they would tell you, that you're going to see that again, what you speak. And you know, it took me years to reach the point where I understood what they were talking about. And then whenever they said that there's nothing new under the sun, and whenever I started putting all of that together, that's whenever the little light bulbs start going off. And that's whenever you come into an understanding of the power and authority of God and the power and authority that's in the Word. It's the Word. And it's what we speak going to come back to us. We speak good, it will come back. We speak evil, it's going to come back. And, you know, so many times we don't think we be out there cussing and going on and calling names, and we don't realize, we don't even stop to think about the impact of what we are saying and how what we say, people see who we are as well. What comes out of your mouth is who you are. And if you keep speaking negative, then nobody really wants to be around you. But also also now in the midst of all of that, what's going on down there, God is there. Okay? Whenever you look and when you look at what's happening in the world and between Russia and the Ukraine, God is there. Even though that people get upset and concerned by the fact that almost said Hitler, Putin talking about unleashing nuclear weapons. Well, God is going to take care of us. We have to invite God in. Do we do? If we don't do our part, God gave us this earth. And because he gave it to us, he's given us, we have to invite God into what he gave us. He doesn't usurp our power, authority that he's given us to deal with the earth. He doesn't act like man. Man will say one thing and he wind up doing another, and you sitting there, but you said. That's not the way God operates.
Right.
We have to
right.
invite God in.
Absolutely.
And that's the purpose and power of prayer.
Yes.
And it's so important that the people down there now start praying the solution. They need to pray the solution,
pray
not
the
problem.
Then.
God knows what the problem is. And then once they pray the solution, then they must believe that God heard them and God going to respond to them, or God has already responded, and then they start praising God. And that's whenever we see the power and authority of God, and we see how God works in human history. That's, again, authority. We have to recognize his authority. And because he gave it to us, he still has authority. We still can invite him in. He created it. So he had that knowledge and understanding about what's going on and how to correct it, where we don't.
That's true. That's true. And he really wants us to walk in sync with him, become one with him.
That's right.
Just get in sync. You know, the Apostle Paul said, if our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Right now, that don't mean too much to them because they're enveloped in the midst of it. No trial, you know. You don't rejoice over hard places and hard times, and you have to talk to yourself, and you just have to tell yourself, God's with me in this. I told him Wednesday, it was like, you know, I like to watch the Christmas show with Scrooge, and when it when he tells him when Scrooge, you know, wakes up after the third angel, and he to see that he's alive, you know, and he starts jumping around. You wouldn't have shown me this if I couldn't change it. You wouldn't have shown me this if I couldn't change it. So the things that we're seeing, it is not the final word. We have to believe, I have to believe God, I'm still alive and I'm still here because I have the ability to change it, even if I don't change anything but myself. But I can't do it without your help. That's why you're inviting me to come to you, because you possess all the wisdom, you possess all the knowledge, you have all the insight. Like you said, you have all the answers. So if I come and I get in sync with you, how can two walk together? Amos 3:3, except they be agreed. I get in sync with you, and I know that you're the one that gave me these things to begin with, and your house has not suffered recession. No enemy has broken in and stolen anything. So just like you gave me that, you can give me more. That's correct. You know, okay, God tell us don't put our heart into material things and all of this. But nobody wants to lose their home. I don't want to lose mine. That's why I stood up and said, you ain't coming here and of nothing God's given me. Stand up and open my mouth. I draw a bloodline around my property, around the church, around all the our neighborhood, this city. You know, and you have to stand up and you have to know when you speak, God moves. He has
That's
to have,
right.
Some people don't like to hear this, and for lack of a better way to say it, God has to have our permission, even though he's sovereign, because he set it up that way. He said, I've given the earth
That's
into
right.
the hands. He said, so if you speak it, I'll bring it to pass. When he told those children to march around that wall for 6 days, and on the seventh day, he said, shout. Now, they shouted with words. They marched around 6 days, shouted. People laughing at them. They're crazy. What in the world is walking around this wall talking about the Lord is good and his mercy is forever? What's that going to do? But they were positioning themselves for God to get actively involved. And when he told them on that seventh day, he said to shout. The people didn't drive the walls down. They opened the door where God sent his angel armies. And they drove those gates and those walls into the ground. It's the same way with David and Goliath. When Goliath came out about what all he was going to do. And David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? In other words, who is this person that has no covenant with God? We're covenant people.
That's right.
Oh, we got a covenant with God. And God is not a covenant-breaking God. God keeps his covenant. He told David, he said, that if you'll obey me, there will never, ever be, there will always be a person from your seed that will sit on the throne. And he didn't change that. He told Noah, he said, it'll never flood, the rain will never flood the earth. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to set a rainbow in the sky. And every once in a while, God will put that rainbow in the sky. And all he's saying is, I'm a covenant-keeping God. I'm still a covenant-keeping God. So we have to know tonight we're in covenant with the Almighty God. We're in covenant with the God that cannot fail. We're in covenant with the God that cannot lie. We're in covenant with the God that heals and delivers and set free. That will bring a rest. That will bring a peace because nobody's mighty, nobody's greater. That little old David running that big old Goliath, this man experienced war, and let loose a little stone. But who got behind that stone? Our word is stone.
That's right.
It allows God to get behind it and go into whatever we need to change to bring rest and peace to our hearts.
Well, I think I'm not sitting near the computer, but look like we do have a caller. Let me go and open the mic.
Okay.
and see if the caller has in the comments.
Okay.
And well, good evening, caller. We have been looking at contemporary situations and circumstances and looking at it in terms of where God is in that and how God is bringing peace to those of us as we go through it and how people are dealing with loss. They're suffering right now. They're grieving. So you have any comments that you would like to make, a question, or even prayer requests?
Well, shalom, everyone.
Shalom.
I had just thought, you know, and real quick on what you had mentioned there. People are having a rough time. They're suffering. you know, I can only say that I once was one of those that are suffering. And to me, I couldn't understand at that time why I was going through what I was going through. Was there something I was missing being in the world? It wasn't this bad then, but it was still suffering emotionally, spiritually, and physically. And I wanted to do better. I wanted to know better. And nobody was giving me any information, exact information that I wanted. You know, I wanted to know the cause or the reason. Just tell me. But instead, I realized that I had to get within myself, and I had to bring myself to a point to want to get some relief or get some help or whatever I needed. But now, as serving God, serving the kingdom, child of God, I can see how people can get, it's like they just get lost. They don't want to find a way, or their suffering is just that deep. They can't feel their way back without some help. But I can understand what a lot of people in the world are going through. But we, as workers, you know, we're not there yet, so we have to keep going and keep doing now, not necessarily for ourselves, but more so for the next person in line, to enlighten them and let them know there's a better way if we just hold on and hold out. This thing is not done overnight, and a lot of people don't get that. It takes time to go to another level and to progress and to feel better about themselves and to want to change things in their life.
Yeah, now that we got 90 seconds left. Well, that is true. And the key word that you, one of the key words that you mentioned is self. We have to look at self and look at it through the lens of the word and realize that we are worthy, even though we have been disobedient. And the word says that we confess and repent. And that's once we can arrive at that point, then we can move out of that situation or circumstances that we find ourselves in.
Yes. Oh, true.
All right. We have less than a minute. Let us pray. And Almighty God, we come to you and say thank you. We look at the way the water, we see how the water is raging, and we see how those things that man has created And some of those same bridges that we have ridden across, literally, we see that they have been destroyed now. And that, to me, shows your power and that we must always give you the praise and thanks. And as a result of doing that, we, your people, who are standing in the gap for others, we can proclaim your word over the land, over the water, over the wind, and that way, just as your son did, it will calm the wind and calm the seas, because he has delegated that power and authority to us, and we just need to come into understanding that we have it and learn how to use it. In Jesus' name, we thank you. And we ask you to send that Holy Spirit and touch the lives of those who are grieving. In his name again, and because of his redemptive work, we say thank you. Amen.
Thank you.
And amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
All right. Until next week, just remember, we are the light of the world. If you want to get up, say we're the sunshine, and really speak it and believe it, and that somebody that you might not even know saw you during that day, and they found the hope, they found some peace, they found the Christ in you, and let us never forget that, because at one point we were there where those same people are. And somebody walked by and said something to us, or people were praying for us. Just don't forget that we pray for all, not some, but all people. Thank you, and shalom.
Yeah.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Yeah. Last minute.